Book 8. This reflection also tends to the removal of the desire for empty fame, that it is no longer in your power to have lived the whole of your life, or at least your life from your youth upwards, like a philosopher. Both to many others and to yourself, it is plain that you are far from philosophy. You have fallen into disorder then, so that it is no longer easy for you to get the reputation of a philosopher, and your plan of life also opposes it. If then you truly understand where the matter lies, throw away the thought of how you appear to others, and be content to live the rest of your life in such a manner as your nature wills. Observe then what it wills, and let nothing else distract you, for you have had experience of many wanderings without having found happiness anywhere, not in syllogisms, nor in wealth, nor in reputation, nor in enjoyment, nor anywhere. Where is it, then? In doing what man's nature requires. How, then, shall a man do this, if he has principles from which come his emotions and his acts? What principles? Those which relate to good and bad, the belief that there is nothing good for man which does not make him just, temperate, manly, free, and that there is nothing bad which does not do the contrary. On the occasion of every act, ask yourself, how is this with respect to me? Shall I repent of it? A little time, and I am dead, and all is gone. What more do I seek, if what I am now doing is work of an intelligent living being, and a social being, and one who is under the same law with God? Alexander and Gaius and Pompeius, what are they in comparison with Diogenes and Heraclitus and Socrates? For the latter were acquainted with things and their nature, their causes and their matter, and the ruling principles of these men were the same. But as to the former, how many things had they to care for, and to how many things were they slaves? Consider that such men will continue to do the same things nevertheless, even though you should burst with indignation. This is the chief thing. Be not perturbed by it, for all things are according to the nature of the universal, and in a little time you will be nobody and nowhere, like Hadrian and Augustus. In the next place, having fixed your eyes steadily on your business, look at it, and at the same time remembering that it is your duty to be a good man, and what man's nature demands, do that without turning aside, and speak as it seems to you most just. Only let it be with a good disposition and with modesty and without hypocrisy. The nature of the universal has this work to do, to remove to that place the things which are in this, to change them, to take them away hence, and to carry them there. All things are change, yet we need not fear anything new. All things are familiar to us, and their disposal is subject to the same laws. Every nature is contented with itself when it goes on its way well, and a rational nature goes on its way well when in its thoughts it assents to nothing false or uncertain, and when it directs its movements to social acts only, and when it confines its desires and aversions to the things which are in its power, and when it is satisfied with everything that is assigned to it by the common nature. For of this common nature, every particular nature is a part, as the nature of the leaf is a part of the nature of the plant. But in the plant, the nature of the leaf is part of a nature which has not perception or reason, and is subject to be impeded. But the nature of man is part of a nature which is not subject to impediments, and this nature is intelligent and just, since it gives to everything in equal portions according to its worth, its duration, its substance, its cause, its matter, its form, its activities and incidents. This will be seen not by examining any one thing and comparing it with any other single thing, but by taking all the parts together of one thing and comparing them with all the parts together of another. You have not leisure or opportunity to read, but you have leisure, opportunity to check arrogance. You have leisure to be superior to pleasure and pain. You have leisure to be superior to love of fame, and not to be vexed at stupid and ungrateful people, nay, even to care for them. Let no man any longer hear you finding fault with the court life or with your own. Repentance is a kind of self-reproof for having neglected something useful, but that which is good is also something useful, and the holy good man should look for it. But no such man would ever repent of having refused any sensual pleasure. Sensual pleasure, then, is neither good nor useful. Of all things, ask, this thing, what is it in itself, in its own constitution? What is its substance and material? And what its causal nature, its form? And what is it doing in the world? And how long does it subsist?